What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Down to the Wire. LSU Bama week is officially in the books. Well, maybe not officially until after this podcast session, Mason. I guess we just got to start there. I mean, where else would we start? Bama unfortunately wins. LSU unfortunately loses. And that was the game.
Look, Cam, if I remember correctly, last year you put together a whole snippet video of everybody trashing LSU, correct?
I did a snippet of the crowd reaction after we won. Yes, that's what I did. So, and you know what? I'm the one that does the editing here. So I get to make the decisions to do that stuff. So unless you want to take over that and come up with your own snippets to give to me, I'm not giving it to you. Sorry.
Look, I just got to apologize to all the fans out there. I am not technologically advanced enough to do that. So you're just going to get my reaction. That's it. So sorry.
Yeah. So go ahead and give me your reaction, Mason. And then obviously I'll give mine and we'll go from there.
Cam. I was thinking about you the whole time. Defense wins championships, my guy. I've been trying to tell you that. The defense played great, man. As great as they could. Jaden Daniels was playing insane on the ground to come out to start the game. I mean, watching him is so frustrating because it feels like you have him contained, and the next thing you know, he's ripping off a 30-yard run out of nowhere. So that was frustrating, but at the same time, I felt like the defense played really well. But the story of the game for me, dude, is Jalen Milroe. I don't even know where that performance came from. He was definitely capable of that, but it felt like that was a completely different offense that we were watching. It feels like Tommy Rees has finally figured out how to coach him and call plays for him. Like it felt like the entire offense was based on his skill sets. And that's why you saw an insane amount of quarterback runs. He had what, 4 touchdowns on the ground, and a couple of them were really long runs. And he was huge on third downs, man. It just felt like they were calling a completely different game than they have been the entire season. And so that was really cool to watch because I've been asking and begging for them to actually call plays for him instead of just making him run an offense that wasn't fit for him. And man, they finally came out and did it. It was a great performance and a great win. And I was super excited to watch it the whole time. I know you were probably feeling some type of way, but I loved every second of it.
I was good until the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Why? What happened in the fourth quarter, Cam? I don't remember.
I'm gonna get to it. I'll get to it. And here is my counterpoint to you, sir. You played the LSU defense, so let's not get too high. This is one of the worst defenses I have ever seen. It's close to on par with USC, guys. Okay,
no, I agree that it's a bad defense, but you can't deny that that looked like a different offense game plan wise. Not necessarily like their numbers are going to look good just because they are playing a bad defense, but play calling wise, situational wise, it looked completely different than it has the entire season.
I mean, it's looked a little different. I'll give you, it has looked a little different. They did include some quarterback run stuff, but like, let's be honest here. Most of Jalen Milroe's running came from him breaking contain and just running on passing plays.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so much as like, hey man, the offense is just so much different now. Like it is a little bit, but he took advantage of poor rush lanes because LSU doesn't know how to rush the passer and contain a mobile quarterback. And then also the coaching staff decided that, you know, we forgot what a spy was when we have the perfect linebacker to play spy. So it's definitely a combination of, yes, they obviously used the bye week to do some self-scouting and to improve in that area. But then the other is just like, hey, man, like, he just made plays with his feet because they were wide open for him to do that, and passing plays because LSU's game plan was obviously to not give up the big play. If there's one thing that LSU shut down, it was the passing attack. I mean, he passed pretty well. He just was never able to get the deep shot.
Yeah,
which is
nothing downfield.
So, and obviously, like, guys, obviously I picked LSU to win this game. Obviously I do not, I just can't pick against them ever. And any of you fanboys of Alabama or Auburn or any of these people would be feel most of the time the same way, unless you're an Auburn fan right now and you know your team is garbage. But listen, I thought that the defense would be a little bit improved. I'm not asking for them to be top 50 defense, and I thought they were going to be that. Like, I would, you can call me insane if I thought that, but I thought they would get a few stops. And the reason that I liked LSU to win was because Jalen Milroe puts up 1 to 2 to 3 passes every game that are turnover worthy. And he did that this game. Yeah.
He did.
There were at least 2 passes that should have been interceptions. We get those 2 and maybe even a 3rd. This game is completely different. And LSU wins flat out. Assuming that, you know, Dallas Turner doesn't decapitate Jane Daniels. I'll get into that later, by the way. But listen. The plays for the defense were there for the taking whenever it was 28-21, 3rd and 10. First drive Bama has after halftime. LSU has already given up 3 scrambles on 3rd down for Alabama to extend drives. I'm sitting here thinking, hey, halftime adjustment. Obviously, hey, we need to call more spies on these 3rd and longs. And they don't run spy. They just let them run, and then it's over, basically. Yep. From there. Very infuriating. I posted on Twitter, Matt Howell should never have gotten and landed back in Baton Rouge. He should have been left in Tuscaloosa. I'm done with him for good now.
Is Matt Howell the new Alex Grinch?
He is. In my mind, he is. In my mind, he is. Like, and the reason I say that even more, like, you could probably look at the total defense last year. In statistics, it would definitely was a better defense. But, dude, 3rd down defense for this team has been so bad the past couple years. Not even like this year is like all time bad. It wasn't great last year either, this 3rd down defense. And that's what won Alabama the game. What, 11 of 14 on 3rd downs?
Yeah, it was something crazy.
You go 11 for 13 on 3rd downs and lose, there's something wrong. Yeah. So obviously that was the obviously key stat of the night. And then the other thing is, hey, when your defense can't get stops, when it can't get the turnovers that are literally there for the taking for you, your offense has to be picture perfect. And they just weren't. When you drop a pass on 2nd and 17 after a holding call, that was a holding call when Jaden scrambled out. It was obviously holding on Will Campbell and Dallas Turner. Then it makes it 2nd and 17. Jaden throws a dart to Mason Taylor in the middle that would have either made it 3rd and short or even would have converted a 1st down. If he catches it, he drops the ball. And then it's like, hey, you don't have hardly anything unless Jaden rips off another big run. You're probably not converting 3rd and 17. And then the next possession you get, first play out of halftime, tip ball, interception. And then it's over. Nothing else after that really matters. I mean, you might make it a little bit closer, which is basically what I was hoping for. Hey, let's go score at least another touchdown. But it's over at that point. Refereeing calls make no difference in the game. Obviously, if there is one thing that I'm upset about, and not because it changes the outcome of the game, it's the hit by Dallas Turner on Jane Daniels.
Okay, let me ask, before you do your whole thing, are you going in the direction that that was a dirty hit, or are you going in the direction that it was just a missed call?
Yes.
Both?
Yes.
Oh, Cam. Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Absolutely was a dirty hit.
How is that a dirty hit? Dude, that's not a dirty hit. Come on. Okay. The only reason it's a conversation that is possibly a dirty hit is because it's 2023. You take that back 5 years ago, that's not even close to a dirty hit. I understand where you're coming from by saying that it's a missed call. Like, it probably should have been at least reviewed for targeting. But dirty hit, man, come on. Don't do that. Don't go there. You're better than that, Cam. I expect more out of you.
Mason, it would be considered a dirty hit 5 years ago. If you want to go 10, 15, 20, I might give you that. Maybe. But you can't do that kind of hit on a quarterback. You cannot.
Okay.
And so it's not just hold on. It's dirty because he's literally launching up in his head and having his full body weight going on his upper body. He did the same kind of thing to Quinn Ewers and has done the same kind of dirty moves to Jackson Dart. He's a great player. That's a dirty hit. It's a cheap shot. It absolutely should have been thrown out of the game.
That's just a hard hit. I get it.
If Harold Perkins does that same hit to Jalen Milrow, you're going to sit here and say the same thing.
I'm telling you.
You absolutely are.
I'm telling you that I understand where you're coming from if you want to say that's targeting and he should have been kicked out because it was targeting. But dirty hit? No, that's not a dirty hit.
We'll disagree on the dirty hit thing, but it absolutely was targeting.
Okay,
and anybody saying otherwise, and so like, here's the thing: we can absolutely disagree on if it was dirty or not. I think it is. You think it's not? Whatever. That's fine. It's absolutely targeting.
Yeah. Okay.
If that's not targeting in 2023, what the heck is?
Long pause.
No, listen, okay. Guy gets a concussion. Hey, it's not targeting, guys. It's not.
I can agree with you for sure that it was targeting because he did hit him with the crown of his helmet up under his chin. So, yeah, that was probably targeting. I just thought it was really weird that they didn't review it at all.
Well, like the rule isn't even, hey, it has to be crown of the helmet anymore.
Yeah.
With him being a defenseless player, it's, hey, is there any forceful contact to the head or neck area? Doesn't matter if it's crown of the helmet or not in that specific situation. If he's running the ball and running, then yeah, no, probably not because he's not leading with the top of his head. But it's forcible contact to the head or neck area for a defenseless player, and it absolutely was. And so, obviously, that has no effect on how that game turns out. So, like, people want to make, like, I've seen it on both sides of, you know, LSU fans being bitter because, you know, they lost. And so they're saying, hey, you know, the game would have been different if, you know, you didn't knock out Jaden. Dude, the only thing that's different is maybe you score one or two more times. The only way we win that game is if we score three times and get two stops. And that sure as heck wasn't going to happen. So, like, obviously it had no impact on the game. I just wanted to see Jaden just finish out the game and see what he would have done against that defense.
Because that would have been fun for me. What?
And it's also... It was early fourth, and then also now it puts his status uncertain for now the Florida game coming up this week. So, but you know, like, obviously it doesn't have any impact on the game. It doesn't change anything.
Dude, I was shocked when he came back out to play later. You could tell he was knocked out. Had no clue where he was when he sat up, and then he comes strolling out next play. I was like, Brian Kelly, come on. What are you doing right now?
Yeah, you totally, whenever they zoomed down on him as he was like sitting up on the turf.
No clue
like
where
he
was.
He literally had the deer in the headlight look.
Yeah.
He did.
Had no clue.
But that's all I'm going to say. Like, there's the fans that obviously were going to, you know, blame the referees no matter what. And like the referees had no effect on the outcome of that game. Okay. No effect at all. The LSU defense is trash. They can't get a third down stop. And the coaching staff didn't put them in chance to win. They haven't developed the players. So there were opportunities out there for the LSU defense to make plays when it comes to interceptions. It wasn't there. But also just because I'm saying, hey, that's targeting doesn't mean that I think the outcome's going to be different. The outcome's the same. I want to see Jaden Daniels obviously play against that defense. And I don't want his status to be uncertain against Florida. That's the crux of it.
So where does LSU go from here at this point? Yeah, you won the West last year. Now you're looking at this year. You already have three losses. Like, what is the water like right now in LSU moving forward?
Dude, if you look at the message boards, like half the people are melting, and then the people that aren't melting are calling out the people that are melting because they're stupid. Like, Brian Kelly said it in the offseason, hey, we're probably a year away from legitimately competing. Like he said it, like me and a lot of others didn't want to hear it. Like the schedule was set up nice. You had a lot of great players returning on offense. You were hoping that they would hit again on the transfer portal for the players on defense. There are players on defense that we thought would really play really well. Mason Smith and Harold Perkins, which Mason Smith is a joke right now. he graded, I think somebody posted like the the PFF grades on one of the message boards, and Mason Taylor graded the worst out of the whole defense. Or Mason Smith. He's been awful. And they obviously can't decide what they want Harold Perkins to be still. He doesn't wrap up well enough and actually play linebacker well enough to constantly do that, but he's also not big enough to always rush the passer. So he's in this weird, like, what am I kind of position. DB, I was pretty happy with this past year. Toviano finally played. He's a true freshman. I think he's going to take over that spot and sit there. Sage Ryan is obviously playing out of position. It's just like, we just didn't have the players this year on defense. And when you have it all time great, like one of the best offenses behind 2019, you're now like, feel like you're wasting it because the defense can't get a stop. And that's super frustrating. The thing when it comes to a program where I'm at is, hey, like the program's still being built. We obviously need to get recruiting stuff done. The one thing that is discouraging is that currently there are no defensive linemen committed in this class, which is worrisome. But we also haven't had a D-line coach since like August. So that's kind of understandable. But obviously Matt House has to be fired along with almost all of the defensive coaching staff. It needs to be a clean slate because there hasn't been the coaching hasn't been well. You haven't developed your players. So those need to be gone. But you need to finish this season out with 10 wins. Which is still there. You'll go 9-3 the regular season, go in a bowl game. You have back-to-back seasons and 10 wins, which hasn't happened, or 10 plus wins, which hasn't happened since 2018, 2019. So as a program builder, like that's where it's at. And then we'll see what happens in the offseason. If for whatever reason, Brian Kelly decides he's going to stick with Matt House, it's going to get ugly this spring. And it's going to get ugly in the fall if the same thing happens. But I'm pretty much convinced he's not staying for sure, but it's obviously disappointing losing to Bama every year. I think it just this year it's more of a, man, we just have this great offense and our defense list is down. And especially during the Les Miles era, if you lose to Bama, then the team kind of crumbles and doesn't impact it in the rest of the year, which is why we lost to Ole Miss and Arkansas all those years. But if they're able to come out this week against Florida and just take care of business, cover the spread, which is I think is like at 14 or 14 and a half, then I'm going to feel way better about it. I was probably more upset about the Ole Miss loss than I am about the Bama loss. So
I know you don't necessarily want to hear this right now, but I don't think it would be a terrible idea if Daniel sat out this week. Because, I mean, you got to figure out
what you're going to do next year. I don't think it would be terrible. I mean, for sure, it wouldn't be terrible.
Nussmeier looked terrible. I know it was a bad position for him to be put in, but those couple possessions that he had, not great.
He played okay. I mean, there were obviously throws that weren't there, but then there were throws that were there that were just dropped. Like the fourth down, Malik Nabers dropped the ball as a first down. So, like you said, he wasn't put in a bad position. I mean, he's going to be the guy moving forward unless we get a quarterback in the transfer portal. But I want to see Jaden Daniels play because I want to see him in New York. Like for him, I just want to see him get to New York for the Heisman ceremony. He's not going to win it because he didn't have his moment against the best team that they're playing the rest of the year. But the accomplishment and the thing I want to see is, hey, I want to see this offense still put up historical numbers. I want to see that because like the offense is going to be different with Nussmeier in. And with how this defense is, like there are no guarantees that if the offense isn't clicking and isn't scoring every possession that we can win at this point, which is why we need Daniels at this point. So,
I mean, hey,
so we're at,
this was a fun week for me, Cam. Okay. I enjoyed this.
I'm sure you did.
Sit through the episode last year and all your shenanigans that you pulled out on me. Okay, I enjoy talking about it now.
I'll let you have this one, Mason.
Thank you. I appreciate
whatever.
It.
All right. Let's other games that happened this past weekend, Mason. Georgia played Missouri. It was a really close game until Missouri kind of choked it at the end and Brady Cook decided to throw a ball directly to a defensive tackle. Luther Burden was held in check. The Georgia offense wasn't great, which kind of what we expected since Brock Bowers went down, I think. What were your thoughts on Georgia and Missouri?
I feel like it's the same thing every week with Georgia. I have no idea what to actually think about them. Like, they have a good – that's a good win against Missouri. Missouri is a lot better than a lot of people give them credit for. So that is a really good team. Win. It's a good team, man. They have a lot of talent on that team. They have a really good offense. Brady Cook has been playing very well. Like you said, they held Luther Burden in check. And so, like, that's a really good win. But at the same time, it's like, should Georgia only be beating Missouri by 9 points? Also, their offense.
Hey, this is the only – I think this is the only pick on a Georgia game that I've actually gotten right on the spread, Mason. So there's that. Let's go. Yeah. The Missouri with the cover.
But it's just so weird. Like, I've never seen a team be able to look so dominant and so average at the same time. Like, I don't know how to feel about them, and I don't think it's just because Brock Bowers is out. Like, this is how they've looked the entire season. But I think these next 2 weeks for them are going to be really telling to what team they actually are. Like, you got to play Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a really good team. They're a sneaky good team. And then also you have Tennessee. So, like, these next 2 weeks are going to be really big for them. But also at the same time, they could very easily come out and look like the exact same team that they have been the entire season. I don't know. I just don't know what to think about them. It's a tough team to judge.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Missouri is a really good football team.
Yeah.
Like, there's not enough people that I don't think there's enough people giving Missouri enough credit. They are really good. I mean, they have a good quarterback, two really good wide receivers, and a really good running back, and they run the stretch play really, really well. Their defense is pretty good too. Like, whenever LSU played them, I mean, they rushed the passer. They obviously had a different game plan against LSU than they had against a lot of other teams, but they stopped the run. They can rush the passer, which always helps. But yeah, Georgia is just super inconsistent, man. Like you said, I mean, the week before they look like they're unstoppable force when they play Florida. Missouri is obviously better than Florida, but you're also at home. And it's also a really big game. And in the past, these are the type of games, at least the past couple of years, that Georgia really gets up for and just like buries them early. And that just never came. And again, it came down to really Missouri not being able to convert in the red zone or not being able to convert field goals all the time. And then them throwing an interception on a broken play that Brady Cook should have thrown away or just ate. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to judge what Georgia does. And like you said, their season has really been now. I mean, it's been last week or the week before against Florida, Missouri, Ole Miss, and now Tennessee coming up here soon, too. They're very fortunate that they get Ole Miss at home and they aren't going to the Grove. I mean, that's a hard place to play. It's not the biggest stadium. Looks like a high school stadium. Got to get my jab at Ole Miss in there somewhere. But yeah, I mean, Ole Miss is a really good team. They are finally fully healthy on offense. They've been rolling recently. In the past, again, this is the type of game that Georgia really comes out and just kind of sets the tone early and Ole Miss can't do anything after. So I'll be curious to see if Ole Miss is able to hang around and actually play or if Georgia decides that, you know, they're unbeatable again and just destroys them. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no predicting anything with Georgia right now. Like you said, you've only gotten it their scores or their picks right one time. Like, there's just not much that you can do with them because they, 1 week, like you said, against Florida, looked like the best team in the nation by a landslide. And then against Missouri, it's like, I don't know, a little shaky. But, yeah, I don't know with them. I don't know if they're just bored. Like, are they good enough to just be bored right now in the season?
They are, obviously.
Yeah. Like, maybe they're just waiting until the SEC championship hits. Like, they knew they were going to run through their schedule like everybody else knew. And maybe it's just like, hey, we'll flip that switch when the SEC championship rolls around. I don't know.
I mean, like, this is just kind of showing why nobody's won 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard as coaching staffs, and Nick Saban will admit, I mean, with as great of a run as Alabama has had, they never won 3 in a row because it's hard to keep your players' attention when you're on a 25 game winning streak like Georgia's on right now or whatever it's at. So if I had to guess, I think either Ole Miss or Tennessee trips them up. And if they don't, then there obviously there's a possibility of Bama tripping them up in the SEC championship game. With how it is right now, I don't see them winning the Natty. If they make it all the way undefeated to the semifinals or into the national championship, I don't think they win it. I just think there's other teams, Oregon, Washington, Ohio State, Michigan. I think either one of those teams would beat Georgia right now, personally. Well, I think, even Florida State.
I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I don't think any of those teams have looked incredibly dominant either. Like, I feel like they're all kind
Michigan
of
Michigan has.
Boat. Well, Michigan haven't played anybody. Well, we can revisit that conversation after this weekend. But, like, I don't feel like there's any one team out there right now that's super dominant. Like, so, sure, maybe Georgia could lose Oregon, but they could also beat Oregon by 20. Like, I think any score right now.
I don't think there's a shot. Personally, I don't think there's any shot that Georgia can beat Oregon by double digits. I think Oregon's that good.
Oregon is good.
I think Oregon has been the most complete team, and they lost to Washington because their coach screwed them out of points.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Oregon. I think, like, they play Washington again, neutral site, they win, and they're going to the playoff. And I could see them winning it all at this point with how good they're playing. They play USC this week. They're a big favorite, obviously, for obvious reasons. And if they completely blow them out, because they are at home, I'm riding Oregon all the way.
Yeah. Wow. I always knew you loved Bo Nix.
I think it's hilarious, actually. How funny would it be, Mason, if Oregon wins the national championship and Bo Nix wins the Heisman? How funny would that be? Check in on your Auburn friends if Bo Nix wins the Heisman, and then you'll need to check in on them again if they win the Natty. They might still be in the hospital after you checked up on them after the Heisman. Just the make Heisman, sure
yeah.
You get the nurse after you get the make sure you have a nurse with you when you check on them in their bedroom after Oregon wins the Natty.
Probably need to check on Brian Harsin too. Make sure he's in a safe space.
We found some frauds, Mason. Oklahoma loses.
Fraud alert. Yeah, get them called out of here.
Got the pokes. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Dude, how crazy is it Oklahoma State is tied with Texas for first place in the Big 12?
Oh, I love it. I love it. What's so funny is they got murdered by South Alabama a couple weeks ago, and now they're tied with Texas.
I think they lost like back-to-back weeks. They lost to South Alabama, and then they lost to Iowa State. And then everybody rid them off. And then they beat Kansas State at home, and they've been on a run since, man.
They just found a running game, man. They figured out how to actually use their star running back that they have. And it came out of nowhere, but shoot, it's working for them. That would be so clutch if they beat Texas in the Big 12 championship.
That would be such an Oklahoma State and Big 12 thing to happen, is for that to happen. Ole Miss beats A&M 38-35. How we feeling on Jimbo? Is he done?
Just
is it finally over?
Get you a good realtor, find you a really nice beach house because you're going to be able to afford it here in about 4 weeks, buddy.
You can afford like three of them.
Yeah. Okay, I bet you, how many Texas A&M boosters right now do you think have their private investigators looking for some dirt on that dude right now?
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. Who did Ohio State hire to investigate Michigan? Or maybe hire that guy. Maybe hire them. I don't know.
Maybe find the guy that got the Michigan State coach. No talking.
A couple
people out there.
Go talk to Lansing, Michigan at Michigan State. Go see what they did. Go hire those people. They'll find some dirt on anybody.
Jimbo, I'll miss hating on you. I really will. You know what's going to be really funny is when Jimbo just pops in as a special assistant coordinator, whatever they want to call it, at Alabama.
How funny would it be if he's just on game day?
Oh, God, that would be terrible. Hey, man, look, they got to go out there and perform, man.
He's the placeholder until Nick retires.
Dude, it would be terrible on game day. Probably better than what they're throwing out with Corso right now, though, but we won't get into that.
Listen, this has been a conversation How do you feel about McAfee on game day?
I like him. I like
him. I do too.
I know. I like him too. I understand why a lot of people hate on him, but I like it. I think, that show to me doesn't have to be serious. College game day doesn't have to be serious. Yes, I want good insight. I want to understand what's going to be happening for the week, whatever, but I also want it to be enjoyable. And I feel like he brings that. Like, he's super electric. He knows what he's talking about. He's a fun guy. So, yeah, I mean, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need, like, the little sob story. Like, I think they kind of stopped with it, with the little sob stories that happen every week, because it got way over the top and way too much. Like, we don't need some sob story about, you know, some kids with cancer that need to go to something or whatever. Like, hey, those are great stories. But, hey, I don't need that every single week when I'm trying to get pumped and ready for the weekend of college football, okay? Unless it's, like, super relevant to, like, the place that you're at that week. I don't need to hear it. Like, hey, like, if I want to hear those stories, hey, there's plenty of them on YouTube, or I'm sure there's pretty good TV shows for that. But dude, like, I love that show, because Corso is so bad. They need somebody like McAfee to bring the energy back, because Corso was game day. He was the energy. Sure. He was everything. And then since the stroke, obviously, like, he hasn't been the same, and we've all seen it since then. And they need to stop rolling him out there because he can't do it anymore, which is sad and sucks because he's our childhood guy for game day.
Dude, but I'm gonna be so sad.
It's
when
just
he goes.
Over. But it's no, over, like I'm already.
Go ahead.
It's already over in my mind. He's already left. Oh, yeah. Like, that's not really Corso.
Yeah.
He just puts on a headgear that he like struggles through. It's just not as fun. Like. They obviously make a big deal about the headgear pick, which is like, that's always been the staple. But like, now it's just like, hey man, like, it just doesn't hit anymore because he's not what he was.
Yeah.
But so let's just stick it with McAfee.
Even when he puts on the headgear, you get like a little tingly feeling in your heart. You're like, my guy, that's Corso right there. Having fun. But no, I feel like, the thing about McAfee, though, is I feel like he's opened up Herbstreit and Howard also.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're both like 10 times different than they were last year. They're out there cracking jokes, having fun, like whatever. Like, that doesn't have to be a serious show, man. It can be fun at the same time as giving out informational stuff. So I like it, but same
time.
And
like, gets the crowd into it really well, too. Like, he's able to get that's the other part of game day is the crowd that's behind the set.
Yes, 100%.
Like, if we just want to watch, like if you just want to watch your analysts and talk, like, go watch Big Noon Kickoff, because they do a really good job over on Fox.
Yeah.
But like, you watch game day because of the signs and because of the crowd, and he knows how to get the crowd going.
Yeah.
I love his segment where they do like the field goal kicking thing and all these kids can't kick. It's great. I love it, man. Anybody clowning on McAfee, like, no, he's great. He is what College Game Day needed, and we need him to stay on game day. And if you don't like it, then go watch Big Noon Kickoff.
Yeah, or just put on your soap opera or something. Watch the news, maybe.
Back to kind of football real quick, Mason. Texas survived Kansas State. They got out to an early lead and then did Texas things, and Kansas State did Kansas State things, and we somehow got into overtime and they won.
Yeah, so they got out to, like, it was like, what, 17-0 or something like that. They were up really big.
It was like 24-7 or something like that.
It was something crazy. So at that point, I was like, all right, I'm done. Turn it off, watching something else. And then next thing I know, it's fourth quarter and they're tied. And I'm just like, what the heck just happened, man? Like, Texas is, what is going on? The quarterback, I thought he was going to come out and look better after another week of prep with Sark. That didn't happen. I think Quinn Ewers might be coming back this week, but if he doesn't, that's, I don't think there's any chance that they roll that dude out again. I think it'll be the Arch Manning show.
You think it'll be Arch?
I mean, I think
I don't know,
be.
Man. Yeah, I mean, and whenever I picked the game last week, like, it's a good thing this game was in Austin, because if it's in Manhattan, they lose that game.
Yeah.
So home field definitely helped there. Let's see. Notre Dame loses again. Frauds, absolute frauds. They lose to Clemson and now everybody's back. Dude, the whole thing with with Dabo that we kind of talked about, I don't even know if we talked about it last week, if it happened yet, but like the whole radio caller with Dabo that happened, And then like that's constantly being brought up on like game day and in the game whenever you're watching the Clemson game. And now everybody's like, oh, look at Dabo now. He beat Notre Dame. It's like, no. Okay, Notre Dame isn't as good as we thought they were, and Clemson is still bad, okay?
That is the worst thing that could have happened to Clemson, if we're being honest with each other. Because now you know Dabo's sitting there like, I was right the whole time.
All vindicated.
The transfer portal. You know he's on his high horse again. That was the worst thing that could have happened to him, because you know he was starting to think about it like, maybe I should change up some things and start going to the transfer portal. Now that's done. He's like, no, we just needed to buy into our system, guys. Come on. I know what I'm doing. Just hit the portal. I feel like I have to say that every week, just one time. The problem with him is it's not necessarily that he's not hitting it, it's the fact that he's losing guys to the portal. And then at that point, if you're losing guys, you're not bringing guys in, you're losing every single thing that you're building at that point. So Dabo, maybe just open your eyes up a little bit. I don't know, figure something out. Don't get happy because you beat a average Notre Dame team. Also, shout out to Notre Dame, okay? Y'all wanted to cry because of Tommy Rees? Look at him now, all right? Are y'all happy with your offensive coordinator right now? Because he ain't getting crap out of Sam Hartman. Sam Hartman had, like, what, two good games? And now he's average? Come on. Freaking Notre Dame. Good Lord.
Yeah, let's keep going off on Notre Dame, Mason. Keep going. We were supposed to have this tag team Notre Dame hate fest. I really haven't, you know, delved into that a lot. But you also kind of kept your mouth shut because you still weren't sure on Tommy Rees yet. So
they wanted to sit there and not say much, or what, they weren't feeling anything about Tommy Rees. They were happy that he was gone and blah, 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 whatever. Freaking Notre Dame, man. Just when I start to actually kind of like Notre Dame, they do this. I'm so conflicted. I don't know why I hate Clemson right now. I've always liked them, but now I hate them. And now I hate Notre Dame again because they lost to Clemson? What? I don't even know what's happening.
You having a midlife crisis? Like, what's going on?
My brain is just racing at this moment, okay? I'm talking before I'm even thinking, so that normally ends pretty bad for me.
Florida got up on a big lead, I think, against Arkansas. Or either way, Florida lost in overtime against Arkansas, who just fired their offensive coordinator, hadn't won since like the beginning of the year. Florida's bad.
Yeah, really bad.
And they deserve to lose in those all black uniforms.
Oh, I didn't even see them. I'm glad I didn't watch
them. They're ugly. All black. Why would you wear that?
All black works for certain teams, but Florida in all black does not sound nice.
No, it was awful. Like also, black helmets, black shirts, black pants.
Also, Billy Napier not getting fired. So, Florida fans, just relax. If he does this again next year, yes, you can fire him. Just let him get through this recruiting class, please.
I hope we hang like 70 on him this week. my upset pick of the year, Mason, USC over Washington, didn't turn out. And I'm back on the USC hate train. So, you know, I thought I'd maybe strike some gold with my pick last week, but they end up still losing by 10. How disappointing.
If you look on the bright side, you used your curse in a good way and got Alex Grinch fired. So maybe you see the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know. Maybe.
It's Lincoln Riley. I'll believe it when I see it, dude.
You can start using your curse for good now that you know that it actually works. You just have to actually believe what you're saying. You can't just say it.
Are there any other games you want to bring up from this past weekend, Mason?
No.
Okay. I mean, you're telling me you don't want to break down Utah, Arizona State?
Yes, very easy. Arizona State, just go to the MAC or something.
Hey, they're going to the Big 12.
Be a G5, please. Let Washington State take your spot in the Big 12. I'm begging you.
I will say Ohio State did struggle a good bit with Rutgers and then pulled away in the second half because Rutgers can't throw the ball. That's basically it. So that was last week. All right, let's move on, Mason, to this week And we have the down to the wire poll again is out along with the college football playoff rankings did get released today. I think what the top four or top six or whatever, or I think is actually top eight is still the same as last week. I think it's fairly similar for us this week as well. So Georgia is number one, separated by 1 point is Michigan at number two, followed by Ohio State at three and Florida State at four. Again, the college football playoff rankings has Ohio State at one still, I believe. So that is the difference there. We have Washington at five and Oregon at six, followed by Texas and then Alabama. Ole Miss is at nine and Penn State is at 10. They're both separated by 1 point there. I know last week they were tied for 10th, but Ole Miss does move up. Louisville is at 11. How crazy is it, Mason, that Louisville of all teams is like right knocking at the door at the top 10? Who would have thought?
They will be not top us. 10 after they upset Florida State in the ACC championship, if that's even possible, which I don't think it is.
Trying to call your shots early, Mason, and then you're kind of backtracking. All right. We need some commitment over here. Okay. At number 12, we have Oregon State, the Beavers, Tennessee followed at 13, and then Oklahoma State. Missouri follows Oklahoma State after their loss to Georgia, and then Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma with a huge drop. I think it was a total of 10 spots that they dropped in our poll. Right behind them is LSU at 19, then Tulane, Arizona up to 21, Mason. Then Notre Dame is at 22, followed by James Madison, North Carolina, and your favorite team of all time, the Iowa Hawkeyes at 25.
I guess I can kind of start coming back around on Iowa now that they actually got rid of their offensive coordinator. But, you know, I kind of just enjoy hating Iowa. I don't know why. They're a fun team to hate.
All right, so that's the Down to the Wire poll. Some other teams that got some votes in our poll that didn't quite make the top 25. Fresno State, Liberty, and Kansas State were the three teams that did not make the cut but did get votes. So thoughts on the poll this week?
So I actually have a couple questions for you. They don't revolve around our poll, unfortunately. I think our poll is fantastic, 100% correct. Should go with that. College football playoff poll was released. Ohio State 1, Georgia 2, Michigan 3, Florida State 4. Ohio State still at 1? What are we doing? So it seems kind of obvious that the committee is going with their strength of schedule stuff and their two wins that they have over what Georgia and Michigan are both doing. Correct?
So it seems like.
Okay. So if you're doing that, why do you also still have Oregon ranked ahead of Texas and Alabama?
Does it make sense?
It doesn't. It doesn't make sense at all. Because if you're going to sit there and say, well, we're picking Ohio State over Georgia and Michigan because of their two wins, their strength of schedule, then you also have to do the same thing for Oregon, Texas, and Bama. Because Oregon doesn't have a single win even comparable to what Bama and Texas both have. Texas obviously has a Bama win. Bama has the win against Ole Miss, Tennessee, and now LSU, which are three ranked teams. Oregon only has one win against a ranked team, which is Utah. Backup quarterback, really? That's what we're going with? So, I don't know, man. The college football committee is so wishy-washy, and I hate it. I wish they would just come out and tell us what is actually going on. It would be completely different if they didn't have Ohio State at one, because then it all makes sense. Like, I'm not going to sit here and argue that Texas and Alabama should be ranked ahead of Oregon, but if you're going to sit there and say Ohio State's ranked one because of their wins that they have, then the same thing should be done at 6, 7, and 8. But I don't know.
So it's interesting that you're bringing that up, and I obviously didn't plan for this at all to do any kind of blind resume here, Mason. Nice. So we're not going to do a blind resume, but I will ask you. You're obviously talking about, you know, Ohio State being over Georgia and Michigan because of strength of schedule. Let me pull up strength of schedule for a couple of teams here. So where would you rank Florida? If we're going to have the argument of strength of schedule, why is Florida State not ranked number one?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like
if I'm looking at the strength of schedules right now, okay, maybe not number one. Strength of schedules right now on the website that I'm looking at, number one is LSU, number two is Alabama. Ohio State is at three on the strength of schedule, so can understand that point for them being number one in the nation if that's what we're going with. Next is Texas at four. Ole Miss is at five. We'll skip the next because it's Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Kansas State. Number nine on this list, Mason, is Florida State. So why are we not putting Florida State above Michigan and Georgia when they have a harder strength of schedule? The teams that they beat LSU, which is obviously they have a three losses, but the three losses that LSU has are all to current top 10 teams.
Yeah.
Right. You also beat Clemson on the road, which obviously Clemson isn't great, but it was still on the road. They were ranked at when it happens. They beat Duke, who was ranked as it happened. To me, it's a little hard to believe that they are ranked top 10 in strength of schedule, but that's what the statistics, at least that we're looking at right here, show that they are ranked ninth. So why are they not ranked ahead of Michigan and Georgia? If that's what we're going on, they have a bigger win against LSU on a technically neutral site. What's better than Michigan? What's better than Georgia? Georgia has Missouri. LSU beat Missouri at Missouri. So, I mean, what are we doing here?
What is Washington at? Because Washington has the win over Oregon, which is also better than anything else on that list. Michigan doesn't have a single good win, for being honest.
Washington's is ranked at 19.
I don't know, man. Like, if you want to rank them off of strength of schedule, that's fine. You're not going to get an argument out of me that. Same thing if you just want to do it off of eye test. Like, that's fine. If that's how they want to rank it, then rank it that way. But don't put one team in one spot because of a strength of schedule and then put other teams behind them just based on eye test. Like, if you're doing it one way or the other, just pick. Just go strength of schedule or go eye test, because it just gets a little confusing at this point because of all of that.
Yeah, Georgia right now is ranked 30th in strength of schedule, which is a little higher than I thought it was. If I look for Michigan,
I bet they're in the 60s, dude.
They're at 53.
Close enough.
Which is not great. Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, they might have – I mean, after this week, if they win, they'll obviously have a bigger win than Georgia.
Yes.
You might could argue maybe a bigger win than LSU or than Florida State. Maybe it is on the road at Penn State, so it's not even at home. So, you know, that gives you an edge. Penn State's ranked what, top 10 right now? So, yeah, I'd say that's probably at this point a better win than LSU. But I mean, the rest of the resume isn't there, right? If we're talking on strength of schedule, which seems to kind of like you said, like they're just kind of picking and choosing. And this is the thing that a lot of people don't like, myself included. About the College Football Ranking Committee is that, like, you just never know what they decide they're going to go off of year after year, week after week. So it just never makes sense. They're just talking just to talk. They already have the teams placed where they want to place them, and then they're trying to explain it later. That's always what it's felt like. Just out of curiosity now, let's go ahead and look at the BCS simulated rankings. I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Wow. RIP to the BCS. What a time, man.
Let's see. Most up to date, I think this was a day ago, was posted on Twitter or X, whatever you want to say.
Twitter. Get that X out of here. Sheesh.
And it looks like their top five is the same in the BCS simulated as what the college football playoff rankings were. The polls that are used are the AP and the coaches, which coaches is crap. AP isn't much better. And then obviously you have your computers. So number one, they have Ohio State, then Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Washington. This is the thing, though, that would drive people crazy about the BCS, Mason. They have Alabama at 6, Texas at 7, followed by Oregon, Penn State, and Ole Miss.
So that was a really hard one for me this week, man. Like, I definitely respect the head-to-head a lot more than anything else. But right now, you can't tell me that Texas is playing any better than Alabama is.
I mean, they're also playing with a backup quarterback, so it definitely makes a difference.
Even before that, they weren't playing any better than Alabama was.
Head-to-head, on the road. Well,
no, I know. Look, so. I put Texas ahead of Alabama because I do respect the head-to-head a lot more, but it was very difficult. All right.
Hey, they might not make it through the rest of the season undefeated, especially if they don't have viewers. So you might not have much to worry about.
All right. My second question leads into that. Does Alabama control their own destiny right now? Because I'm really starting to question it. Really starting to question it.
It's a good question. I don't know if they do.
I don't know if they do either, which is crazy to think about. Crazy. Because let's be real.
It's crazy to think that they would leave out a one-loss SEC champ in the playoff, but it's a real possibility this year for sure.
Really? So, okay, let's break it down. You're probably going to have an undefeated coming out of the Big Ten, whether it is Ohio State or Michigan. One of them is probably going to go undefeated. Then you're probably going to have an undefeated Florida State. I mean, that one feels a little bit more likely that they would take a loss, but also it's a good chance that they come out undefeated. So right now, right off the bat, you're looking at two undefeated conference champions that they would both be in. And then you would have Washington and Oregon. There's a chance Washington is another undefeated champion. I think that Oregon gets them if that happens. So now you're looking at that, and then you have to look at Texas possibly being a one-loss champ with the head-to-head over Alabama. So at that point...
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be how it's set up right now, and if things go chalk, right? Like, it's going to be winner Ohio State, Michigan's getting in, because they're going to obviously win their conference championship game. Florida State gets in if they go undefeated. Winner of Washington and Oregon, assuming they take care of business and show up with Oregon still being a one loss and Washington being an undefeated. Winner of that championship game gets in. And then it's if Texas goes undefeated, they're in. If Bama goes undefeated, they're in. Or wins out, they're in. If Georgia wins out, they're in. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Alabama, they could beat Georgia. But if Texas wins out... Let's bring up Texas's schedule real quick, just so we are aware of what's upcoming for them. They play TCU, Iowa State, and Texas Tech. Two of those on the road.
That's three.
But not as super hard. I mean, those are the only one that I would be any kind of worried about, to me at least, is Texas Tech, because I think Texas Tech is really playing a lot better. But then they would play a very hot Oklahoma State team probably in the conference championship.
I think, honestly, like if Texas does win out, I think it would have to come down to a one-loss Pac-12 in Oregon and a one-loss Bama. Like at that point, I think if Alabama does run the table and win out and Oregon runs the table and wins out, I think Alabama would get in over Oregon. But I mean, there is an argument to that. But I just think if you're comparing it, I think Georgia is probably a better win than Washington. It's an argument. It's very, very close. But then you combine everything else, they'll have the win over Ole Miss, Tennessee, and LSU. And then you add Georgia on top of that. That's going to be four top 25 wins compared to Oregon, who's going to have two. Ah, oh, dude. Oh, my gosh.
So with Oregon, here's what they have. They beat Colorado, who is ranked at the time. Beat Utah, They still play Oregon State. They play USC, which is probably going to have some weight, even though it shouldn't. And then they would beat Washington.
So, that's going to be tough, dude.
The loss was on the road by 3 as opposed to at home in double digits. So that might be something, but
I just don't know.
How it's shaping up right now, they obviously value Oregon way more than they value Alabama and Texas.
Yeah. I just don't know how they leave out a one loss SEC champ unless it's just absolute chaos at the end, which is how it's shaping up to be. That's going to be crazy. The SEC has ran the college football playoffs since it started. And you're telling me that a one loss SEC champ is going to be left out of the final 14 playoff? Yikes.
It could, man. That's to me, crazy. Like the best thing that's going to happen is if Texas loses.
Yeah.
To me, that's the hope. If you're a Bama fan, hey, Texas has to lose and then we're in.
Yeah.
If Texas loses, you control your own destiny. Because there's no way they're going to do 2 Big Ten teams. There's no way they're going to do 2 Pac-12 teams.
No. Sheesh.
It's either that or you hope for Florida State to trip up.
Well, so
one loss to Florida State, that's an ACC champion. Do they get in?
I mean, I think Bama would get in over them as a one-loss SEC. So assuming everything else goes how we say, then yeah, I think Florida State gets left out. But I think they would put a one-loss Bama in over a one-loss Big Ten champ also. Like whether it's Ohio State or Michigan, I think they would be ahead of them.
Well, I think either one wins. Big Ten's in. Ohio State, Michigan control their destiny. For sure.
You think they would be in? So let's just say one loss Michigan.
If it's like a round robin thing to where like Penn State beats Michigan and Michigan beats Ohio State and all three of those teams have one loss, whoever gets in, like whoever gets to the championship game and wins, they're in the playoff.
See, I think Bama would get in over a one loss Big Ten.
If they get in over a one loss Big Ten, it's over Michigan.
It would be over Michigan.
No way they get over Ohio State.
I don't know if it would be over Ohio State. But at the same time, all of Bama's wins would be better than what Ohio State has. A Georgia win would be better than a Michigan win at that point.
Yeah, maybe.
This is too much thinking.
You're really getting into the weeds. You're getting into the weeds here, Mason. I don't know if I like it or not.
I don't know if I like it either. I still have like all right. 4 more weeks to think about this.
Yeah, you do. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Because the college football playoff rankings are just a TV grab. That's all it is.
Yep.
So Mason, it's time to bury one of our segments right here, right now. And that's fantasy. And why are we doing that, Mason? What happened?
Cam. Do we have to?
Yeah, okay. We do. I need you to say it.
It finally happened. I was on a nice little hot streak, okay? By hot streak, I mean I won one game. All right. You beat me in fantasy in week 10 and capped it off for the year. There is no chance for a comeback. You beat me 117-82. Malik Nabers, Haynes King, carried you, and I couldn't compete, unfortunately. So we are done with this. It was fun while it lasted. Just a side note. I told you about this before the show started. 5 weeks out of the 10 weeks that we did this, I had a 0 in my lineup. Okay. This was a struggle for me, apparently. Apparently, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. So thankfully, you put me out of my misery. I don't have to worry about that anymore. No more stupid tight ends for me.
Yeah, you don't have to look up some random tight end to put in your lineup that's probably going to get a 0.
Yeah, no, don't have to worry about that anymore. So congratulations. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of happiness from your tough weekend.
It was the one thing that I was happy about all weekend. And you forced me to wait until like yesterday for me to know that I actually won. Maybe you should just stick to regular NFL fantasy football, okay?
Yeah, because I did beat you in our matchup this weekend. That was fun.
I was too scared of the 3 tight end lineup to try and beat you, Mason. If I did, then we would have tied.
I don't think anybody plays a three tight end lineup, but you know, I digress.
If you do, if you are out there, I want to know how good you do. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and move on to the picks, Mason, since we are no longer doing fantasy, since it's over. This is something that you're coming back on with a vengeance. You were down a good bit, Mason.
My new favorite segment.
And you know, I told you to get your crap together, and you actually took that to heart, surprisingly. So last week, you went 6-4, which brings your record for the year to 49-42-4. And last week, I went 4-6. And so now my record is also 49-42-4. So we are all tied up in our picks for the year. You have finally caught up. And now, you know what, 3 weeks left in the regular season, then bowl season and playoff. It's all right in front of you, Mason.
Yes.
And we are down to the home stretch. So let's go ahead and move on to picks now. The first game we got on the lineup is the biggest game of the day. No surprise there. Michigan going to Penn State. Michigan is a 4.5-point favorite with all the outcry that's going on. That's stupid with the whole sign stealing situation. Apparently, there are a lot of other teams that are stealing signs as well from Michigan and sharing information. All the drama doesn't matter. I care what happens on the field. Penn State, Michigan, 4.5 points for Michigan. Who do you like?
I don't think I don't think Penn State has any chance of running the ball on Michigan, and they cannot throw to save their lives. So I am going with Michigan, and I think Michigan is going to win fairly big.
Yeah, go Big Blue. Again, I picked Michigan in my national championship, and I still think they're getting there, and I don't care what anybody says. Big Blue all the way. I think they dominate Penn State on the road, and they cover the 4.5. Next up, Mason, possible trap game, maybe a letdown game. Alabama at Kentucky. Get a big win against LSU. Now you're going to Kentucky. Whoever wants to really play Kentucky at Kentucky in November? Let's just be honest here. Alabama is 10.5-point favorite. Tell me why I should pick Alabama, Mason, because I know you're going to.
I am definitely going to. Also, another scary note, it is an 11 o'clock kick.
It's something about Alabama always being slotted in these 11 a.m. kicks. What's going on with that? Like, do y'all just like love it? Like, is this something you want?
They just look. They know we're going to bring in the numbers, so they just try and put us on early. Unfortunately, but I am very interested to watch this game for sure because of some of the stuff that you laid out. This is definitely a trap game. You come off a really big win against LSU. This is the type of game that really shows where your team's mindset is. If you have the right mindset for the season, Bama should win this game very big. But if you have a sloppy week of practice because you feel like you're on top of the world after getting a big win against LSU, this is a game that you can fall asleep and sleepwalk through and find yourself catching an L. I don't think that happens. I feel like Alabama is normally very prepared coming off a big week like that because Saban really chews them out and lays it on them. He's always been very good at stuff like that. So I do think Bama wins, and I think they win pretty big.
Yeah, it absolutely has the classic, like I said, trap game going on the road after a big win. But Kentucky is probably the biggest disappointment in the SEC this year. They are not very good. I think it's going to be kind of a slow start, kind of like it was maybe against Arkansas. But I actually like Bama to actually cover the 10.5 this week. Kentucky is just not very good, and disappointingly so. Next, we have Texas Tech at Kansas. Kansas, still on a run. They're ranked. They're a 3.5-point favorite at home against the Red Raiders, who won last week, right? I don't remember.
They did beat TCU
on Thursday night. They beat them up. So they go on the road and go to Kansas again. Like I said, Kansas is a 3.5-point favorite. Do you like the Jayhawks?
I think the really unfortunate thing about Kansas right now is you actually have no clue if Jalen Daniels is going to play for them. It's like, maybe he will, maybe he won't. Maybe his back just starts hurting again. I'm going to take the gamble and take Kansas in this one. They played really well with their backup against Oklahoma, and they were at home for that game as well. Obviously, Oklahoma is a better team than Texas Tech, so give me Kansas.
Yeah, give me the Jayhawks as well. It's 3.5, not very many. I'll go with Kansas as well since they're at home. Next, Utah at Washington. You know, Utah is that team, Mason, that just hangs around, and you just can't get rid of them in the top 25. I mean, they just, you know, they look horrible against Oregon, and then they score 55 points the next week. It was Arizona State. Washington went in with a big game against USC. This is maybe a trappish game, but they are at home. Washington is a 9.5-point favorite against Utah. What's your feeling on the Utes and the Huskies?
So I went on a big spiel about Utah a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, like you with Georgia, I never get Utah right. I don't know ever how to pick them. Washington has a fantastic offense. Michael Penix is towards the top of the list for the Heisman right now. So I'm just going to rock with Washington. That's all I've got.
Hey, you know, it's not a bad pick per se. I mean, who knows what'll happen? I'm actually going to go and ride with Utah here, okay? Because, like I said, Utah just has this thing where they just hang around. Sure, yeah, they got completely blown out at home against Oregon. But I think Oregon has a better defense than Washington, and Utah has a really good defense that could clamp things down against Washington's offense. So I'm going to go with Utah covering. I don't think they win, but I think they cover the 9.5 on the road. Next one up is a big matchup in the SEC East. Basically fight for second place, it seems like, at this point. Tennessee at Missouri, and this is essentially a pick 'em. Tennessee is currently just a 1-point favorite against Missouri on the road. Missouri obviously coming off the tough loss against Georgia last week. Do you like the Volunteers to go in and win and set up a matchup for the SEC East next week against Georgia, or what?
Cam, I don't know. I've been waiting desperately for Tennessee to have a big win, and it just feels like it does not happen. I'm going to go with Tennessee, actually. I'm going to go with Tennessee. I feel like Missouri is going to be a little let down from their game against Georgia. Also, Luther Burden is kind of day-to-day right now, so he might not play. If he doesn't, that's going to be a tough one for Missouri. So I'm actually going to rock with Tennessee.
I think Missouri is the only one of the two that actually has an offense. And their defense isn't bad and can stop the run. So I'm going to go Missouri as home dogs. I know they just came off of a disappointing loss against Georgia, but I think they're going to bounce back at home and beat the Volunteers. So I'm going with the Missouri Tigers. This is a fight for one of the worst spots in the SEC West, Mason. Auburn going on the road to Arkansas. Arkansas came off a big win against Florida in the Swamp in overtime last week. Auburn beat up on Vanderbilt. So Arkansas is a 3-point home favorite. Do we like Sam Pittman to get back-to-back wins in the first time in like forever, or will Auburn take care of business?
Dude, I'm going to be real with you right now. I'm actually going to go with Auburn. I like kind of what they've been doing. They have been incorporating Jarquez Hunter a lot more, and it has been working for them. Peyton Thorne was kind of – he just did his Peyton Thorne thing against Vandy. It is what it is. You just kind of got to live with it. But I am going to go with Auburn in this one.
You know, I really have had no idea who I was going to pick in this game, and I still really don't. I think this is an ugly game to pick, and I think it's going to be an ugly game to watch. But I think Arkansas can actually score points. So I'm going to go with Arkansas at home. I'm going to go with old Sam Pittman to win again, to maybe keep him off the hot seat as much as, you know, possible. Nice. So I'm going to go Arkansas. All right. Next one. This is the biggest game in the SEC this week, Mason. Ole Miss going on the road to Georgia. The spread isn't as outrageous as a lot of the other spreads for Georgia. It's only Georgia minus 10, only a 10-point favorite against Ole Miss at home. This is a night game, which they don't get very often in Athens because their schedule is usually so bad. Do you like old Lane train to go into Athens and pull off the upset? Or is Georgia still going to confuse us and somehow blow them out and now they're back to world beaters? Or, like, what is Georgia? I don't know.
I am 100% going with Georgia in this game. Athens at night, top 10 matchup. Give me Georgia. Lane doesn't win these games, okay? You've seen it time after time, time after time. He does not win these games. And so I'm going to go with Georgia, and I do think they cover the 10.
You know, Mason, I think you and I have both said this about Ole Miss this year, is that, hey, they just don't win these games. They just don't win these games. I said it last week against Texas A&M. And you know what? They won the game. There's something about this year, Mason. I can't put my finger on it, but there seems to be something with Ole Miss this year. And Georgia's not this world beater like we've been saying. If there's going to be a game that Georgia loses in the regular season, it's not going to be next week. It's going to be this week. I'm going Ole Miss.
Good. Thank you.
Let's go Fighting Lane Trains. Let's go.
Glad you picked the opposite of that one.
Hey, listen, something's going to happen. Either I'm going to find my hot streak with Georgia or you're going to find your hot streak with Utah. Maybe it's both. I mean, who knows? But we're really figuring it out this week. really testing out some theories here. Next up, we got the really good, fun rivalry that's happened. It hasn't been super competitive recently, but... Florida Gators, who are awful and just lost to Arkansas at home in overtime, going on the road and playing LSU, who just wounded animal mode, just lost to Bama on the road. LSU is a 14-point favorite. Don't know at this point if Jaden Daniels is playing yet. How do you feel about a 14-point spread here in this one?
Can I put an asterisk by this game, Cam? Because if you're telling me Jaden Daniels is playing, I will take LSU. But if it's not him, I'm going with Florida. So
no asterisks. No asterisks. Pick it now.
All right, give me LSU.
You got to give me the Tigers. I don't think it matters. I think Florida is horrible. I think they're going to pack it in the rest of the year and just lose out. All right, last game that we're picking. I think this is more of, hey, how big is the final spread going to be game?
God, this is crazy.
USC at Oregon, and Oregon is a 16.5-point favorite against USC. That's a lot of points, Mason. 16.5? What do you think?
I refuse to believe that USC would lose by 16.5 with Caleb Williams. I know how bad their defense is, but 16.5, dude. I'm taking USC for sure. I don't think they win. Don't get carried away with that. But there's no way they don't cover that.
Hey, pick of the week, the over.
Oh,
whatever, yeah, it's at, 100%. Pick the over. Okay, yes. Guys. But 16.5 is crazy. Like, yes. We're at Georgia level crazies here. This is still a really good offense. I know Oregon has a pretty stout defense, but there's no way that I, like you said, I have no, there's no shot USC loses by 16.5. I'm going with USC as well. If it's 10.5, okay, I can see that. 16.5,
no chance,
is insane. I'm going with USC as well. So how do you feel about your picks this week, Mason? You feeling good? You're keeping the hot streak alive, you think, or?
Cam, I've adopted a new strategy with my picks. I basically just give you my picks up front. I don't think about it before we start, and I don't think about it after. So I'm going to continue to do that and see if it still works. So I have no thoughts.
Hey, listen, it's been working for you. So you know what? Until it breaks, until you have one of those like 1 in 9 weeks like you've had previously, we'll just keep rolling with it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always, again, you can check out the video podcast on Rumble. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or X, whatever the heck you want to call it. And we will catch you all next week.